I will be, wow, what a beautiful, we heard a plenty beautiful message. I'd like to share a few things with you, and I'm going to really be going through a couple of short things.
But if you want to turn to, you can help me to pass out Bibles, but
if you want to turn to John 1, I'm going to be there at some point. In fact, the verse that we're so familiar with that's, if you haven't been in church, you've still seen it, because if you watched football or anything, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I've often resisted talking about that verse at Christmas because it's used so much, and I like people to get exposed to other verses. On the other hand, what a great verse. Because what if John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world, he gave his most expensive set of golf clubs. Those would be, for you golfers, the HOMMA 5-star. For a whopping $32,000, you can get some golf clubs that when you miss still with them, when you hit your putter against a tree, it won't bend. How badly would that set God back to have to buy everybody a set of $32,000 HOMA golf clubs? Would that put a dent in his finances, his capacities? Well, you're not into golf. What about a lifetime pass? God so loved the world, he gave everyone a lifetime pass to Disney World, including hotels and the food courts. You say, well, I'm not a Disney person. I'm not into crowds. You know, oh, you like a little more quietness. Maybe your own private island. God so loved the world, he gave each one their own private island. You can go to Hog Cay, Bahamas, and I said it right, not Bay. There is a Hog Bay somewhere, but this is Hog, C-A-Y. If you know what that means, tell me later. But it's Hog Cay, Bahamas, and for a simple $35 million, everything paid for, privacy, servants that disappear right after they bring you your hot drink or cold drink, you know, your own private place, no hassles. But everyone knows, everyone here knows that without relationships, life becomes empty. And even though relationships add something to life, it's called hassles. Relationships add hassles to life. And, you know, don't worry. Pretty soon, with all the robotics that we're getting into and the automatronics, you can have the person of your dreams made for you. So they say. Or if the person that you have, the people in your life, you could probably slip them something eventually and they can tweak them. So they're just the way you wanted them to be. That person, that's your special person in your life, or several of them. What if you could just, God so loved the world that he let you tweak them through robotics and integrated circuits with biology, and if God allowed it to go that long, you could tweak them so they're now exactly what you really wanted. Well, that's a problem. Because if they were, they would not be loving you and treating you freely from a choice to love you from their heart. And if you have people in your life that are only treating you that way because they're forced to, you're not enjoying it. Are you with me? If you have people in your life that were tweaked mechanically, scientifically, and they had no choice but to treat you exactly the way you wanted to be treated, you'd be a very unhappy person. Everyone around you would basically be a robot. And you would have actually no relationships. Just yourself. Which is scary. But if they... because real love requires real cost. Real love requires real cost. And even unconditional love, I love the way that word is bantered around with zero knowledge of what it means. Not suggesting I know it all, nobody else knows. Please forgive the way I said it. But what I'm saying is unconditional love, you've been with me, you've heard this before a little bit. You've been with me, you've heard everything I have to say a little bit. especially unconditional love, you know, it requires a condition, sacrifice. You don't just love unconditionally without any pain. It's no such thing as the way we say unconditional love. Now listen, Jesus was shown by Satan all the kingdoms of the world, and these I will give to you, he said in Matthew chapter 4, if you just fall down, bow down, and worship me. Jesus says, not interested. The Lord God only shall you worship, and him shall you serve. But you know what? He already owned everything. In fact, John 1:3 says, all things were made through or by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So he already owned everything. In fact, he made everything. But there's one thing he didn't really own. One thing in all the universe, Jesus did not possess. Your heart, my heart. That's it. One thing he did not possess as creator is your heart and your love. You were created, and I was created in God's image after his likeness. That doesn't. Now, which one of us does he look like? You're all hoping it's not me, and you're right. Of course, I'm the only Jewish one here. That's scary, I know. Okay, listen. Who does he look like? That isn't the point. It's not a physical presence, shape, form. We were created in his character, in his likeness. We were given will and choice. But he paid for it. We were created in his likeness and his image, but he paid for us to be able to make a choice, which he paid for in full. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He who owed no debt paid a debt. He paid the debt I couldn't pay. He didn't owe the debt. He who owed nothing paid everything, and he who owed everything paid nothing, because I couldn't pay for it. But he did pay for me to be able to make that choice. Now, a baby in a manger, a baby anywhere. No one knows how a child will grow up. Nobody knew that Peter John Corson was going to contract Crohn's at 21 years old, did they? Nobody knew that that child that somewhere got hit by a car on their bike and was maimed for life, that that was going to happen as they looked at the baby in the cradle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody knows how a child's going to grow up, what they're going to achieve, what trouble they're going to have, except one child that was born in all the universe. It was known exactly what he was going to go through. In fact, it was prophesied to us in so many places. Have you got 7 hours? Could you put off the noon lunch? I'll go through all the verses that I can find and we'll still come up short. How about this from Isaiah 53:3-6, and I have it in New Living for the simplicity of understanding. How was this baby going to grow up? He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray, and we left God's path to follow our own way. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Who would have chosen such a path? Explicitly told us all this pointing at a Christmas tree. all this Sunday Christmas service, Christmas Eve, all this that you go out today and go try to go down to exit 15, all this is about that. All this. Am I making myself clear? Obnoxiously so, I know. But you'll remember it. All this is about that. All of it. The part that you and I don't give to him because of our will, the part of us that we don't give to him because of our will, that's what it's all about. He came not just when he came, but it says in the Bible several places that from eternity past, Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. John 17, Jesus says, Father, I'm coming back to you to the glory that I had with you before the world began. Bill told us last week about, and 2 weeks ago, about the works that have been prepared for us from when? The foundation of the world. It's all a promise of God that has been performed by God for us. It's a story that is told, that has been told and revealed. You know, all the angels understood more than, what's her name? What? Sarkis. That was parody. That was, you know, that was fun. But they do. The part that's absolutely true is they desire to understand the relationship that you and I have with God, the oneness that he has called you to. And all of this was at the greatest possible cost, and all of this was paid for because he came as a babe in Bethlehem. God paid for our forgiveness, for our restoration, not with $32,000 golf clubs. I know that's silly. It was just to get your attention and get you thinking. Because you fill in the gap. What could he give to you that would cost him? If he gave you $10 billion, if he gave you perfect health, how long would that have to last, by the way? I'm not knocking having good health and asking God for it. But let's just say, does it have to go from the time you're a baby until you're 90, and then you're okay with it? Because very few people have that, don't they? We're in a fallen world. And even then, when you hit that day, you die. If you get raised from the dead into this life, every person in the New Testament that Jesus raised from the dead later on died. It was a temporary fix to prove who he was. Because there's something more eternal for all of us, something better. And what could God give you that would cost him? One thing. Only one thing costs God. He spoke the universe into existence. It didn't take any of his energy away. He didn't have to catch his breath. He didn't have to put a respirator on. Wait a minute. He didn't need a 5-hour energy drink to restore the energy he expended, because God doesn't lose any energy and God doesn't gain any energy. He was never young. He doesn't grow old. He's eternally the same. And in his eternal nature, he sent himself through his Son. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was every bit in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is every bit God. And God paid for my forgiveness and my restoration, for my rebellion, with the only thing that cost him, the life of his Son. And it's commonly spoken by people, well, if I were God, I'd dot, dot, dot. This is how I'd do it if I was God. And I think that's a pretty big assumption. If you were God, you mean you'd allow yourself to come to a place where people hated you, mocked you, spit on you, no matter how good you were and you were perfect, mocked you, spit on you, beat you, hung you naked on a cross, and even worse, somehow that you would bear the wickedness of their evil and rebellion within your body and on your soul in a way that no one can understand, and you would do that. And then, and as you're doing it, you would look out to the very people who are doing this to you. You would look out to the very people who are doing this to you, and you would say, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Is that what you're telling me when you say, if you were God? Well, no. If I was God, I wouldn't do any of that stuff. I'd do it totally differently. That's the problem. I'd have a different plan, like Sardis. I'd have a different plan. I'd make people with no sin. We wouldn't have all this mess. It's stupid. I'd just make people without sin. No. Oh, so you'd make people without choice. And by the way, we go for that. As long as it's everybody else. God, make them be this way. Stop them from doing that. Get them to do this. You can tell God and say that emphatically to God. God, I want you to take control of this world. I want you to take control of these people around me. I want you to take control of this situation and circumstance. In a sense, you could say that if you're also saying, God, I want you to take full control of me. Even then, you really can't say all that other stuff. You can't force him. But are you willing for God to take full 100% control of you? If you're not, don't, and I'm talking to the person out there, none of you here. If you're not willing to let God take full control of you, I don't think anybody's interested in what you'd do if you were God. And what do you do right now, friend? What do you do right now? If you were God, what do you do right now that is God-like? Do you operate in a God-like manner right now? Because if you were God, you seem to have that down. Come on. Unconditional love, man. Go for it. No conditions. Just love, 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 love. Without nothing has to go anywhere your way. Is that really how we operate? God gave us unconditional love in the greatest sense, but there was a payment needed for our rebellion against his perfection, his love. We needed someone perfect to bear our sin and our failure. And brothers and sisters and friends, we didn't just fall short. Oops. None of us in this room, and no one in any room gathered any place in this world, just kind of fell short. Oops. We chose short as well. We chose what we were given inherently through Adam. We also have made that choice so many times, you don't even have a clue, and I don't have a clue, how many times we have chosen sin and chosen rebellion. Okay, how about this? What if I did this one? Who's ever lied in this room? Raise your hand. Some people aren't raising it only because you don't want to participate, and that's okay. We're not going to force you, but I get it. You're saying, I don't have to do whatever this guy up here says. That's fine. When I'm out there, I might do that sometimes too. It's called rebellion. But, but so if I had, who's lied 10 times? Who's lied 20 times? Who's lied 50 times? You don't have to raise your hands. Who knows how many times you've lied in your life? No one in this room even knows how many times we've lied. And it's way worse than that. I'm not afraid to say, you know, oh, Chris over there, he's a great guy. I love him. He's a good guy. But I'm not saying he's a holy man without sin, because there ain't no such animal. And in fact, it's much worse than we think it is. But the gospel is much better than we comprehend that it is, because Jesus came in his perfection. And when he comes to you, and he will come to you, and I don't feel a responsibility to prove to anyone that God will come to you, because I'm not capable of fulfilling what God said. I'm capable of letting him work it in my life, repenting when I fail. I'm capable of expressing it, proclaiming it, and believing it. But I don't take the responsibility to make people think or see anything. Because if the Holy Spirit can't get through to you, what do I think I'm going to do that's better than him? But I believe him when he says he gets through to every person and has revealed himself to every person. I believe God more than I believe people who say he hasn't revealed. Doesn't mean I have to be arrogant or mean to them or not have compassion for the pain they're going through. But I need to stand on the truth, and so do you. And I don't know why God came to me at 18 when I was in the middle of extreme rebellion and why I got it. I only know he did, and I thank him for it. And I don't know why some of you who may be here that it's taking you so long, I don't know the answer to that. But I know that today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. It's today. It's not tomorrow or next week or think about it. When the Holy Spirit comes to you and is burning your heart, and I don't even know what this guy's talking about, but something's going on inside of me and I can't shake it, that's God talking to you. And then you have a choice. And then when you receive Jesus, he gives you a new nature. He doesn't just change your nature. He gives you a new... We change our behavior sometimes, but we don't change our nature. God gives us a new nature. And then that's how God sees you, through Jesus' perfection, when you accept his gift by choice. The most important choice you will ever make in your life. Have you made that choice? Have you really made that choice? Today's the day of salvation. He who confesses me before men, Jesus said, I'll confess him before my Father in heaven. He who will not confess me before men, I will not confess before my Father in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean we have to have a programmed way that we invite people to receive Christ. That doesn't mean that you can't quietly go pray right now somewhere and welcome him to be your Savior, that it's impossible. But the result of that will be that you'll speak honestly to people about it and say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. It'll come out. And one of the ways that you make sure is that you do it with other people, somewhere here, somewhere there, somewhere right up here. You actually take a step and publicly confess him. And what it does for you, it's not like poor God, he needs a lot of support, and he'll feel really left out if you don't do it this way. God doesn't need anything from any of us. Is everybody here? Do you know that we don't need something from you if you're not engaged with us? We don't need anything from you. We love you. God doesn't need anything from me or you. We need him. And we need to, somewhere along the line, publicly stand up and say, yes, I believe in Jesus, because it'll help us keep saying it. Instead of just going, well, did that really happen or whatever, or maybe I just, you know, there's a day in your life where you start standing up for Jesus Christ. As the musicians come up, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We hardly ever do this. People in this church are about ready to faint. Because I don't do this, but I'm going to do this, and I'm not forcing you. What power do I have? I don't want to force anybody, but I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to stand if you are going to receive Jesus Christ. If your heart is burning, if this is your day, you've kind of been floundering about your faith, and you want to say yes to the Lord right now, it's right for me to give you an opportunity. No pressure from me. But we're not going to skate on this and just Do you know you're supposed to be a little uncomfortable right now? And what you really need to be uncomfortable with is not being forgiven of your sin. That's something to be uncomfortable with. And if you don't know that you're forgiven, you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And He doesn't owe it to you. But He has committed Himself to it, and He's already paid for your sin. It's waiting for you. In fact, we're going to let the musicians sing a song, and then I'm going to stand up here and invite you to stand and receive Jesus Christ.
Let's sing this one. Like this. Lord, I give.